So we're going to read God's word again. Psalm 2, that psalm, or Psalm 1 we began with. Blessed is the man who walks not on the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. All God's people should give thanks that God has kept our lives during COVID. And we stand at the start again of another year in 2021. And I forgot to say, and I do wish you a blessed and joyful and peaceful and fruitful new year, which we have now entered into. And as we start this year, I thought it would be a good thing to begin at the start of the Psalter, the psalm book, the book we sing songs from. What a wonderful gift God has given to the church that we can sing these songs that Jesus sang. We often forget that, don't we? And it's vital, therefore, that we learn to think of these songs that Jesus sang so that we can sing these Christian songs, for they are Christian songs. The only people who have really ever sung them properly are Christians, not the Jews. They didn't understand them like we do fully and properly. And we're to sing these Christian songs like Christ himself. And so what I want to do in the remaining 25 minutes or so, God willing, with the psalm is something which you're maybe not used to. I'm not accustomed to preaching like this, but I'm going to try it this morning. And I just want us to try and think of how Jesus sang Psalm 1 or Jesus sings Psalm 1 with the church. It won't be the kind of tightly structured three-point sermon you're used to, but please bear with me. The points will be short. Because his praise was perfect, his worship was wonderful. And as we ask this question, how did Jesus sing Psalm 1? May his spirit fill our hearts to sing it in our minds with him. The first thing we see is that Jesus knew this psalm was a messianic psalm. We wouldn't normally think of Psalm 1 as messianic, but bear with me a little. Jesus knew that it was written probably by Ezra, the priest, who came back with God's people after they'd been far away in exile. And he wrote this song after Jesse's son was dead. David was no more. He was deceased. And this focused the church on the Psalter in days when the Jews had no king. And yet there's songs all about kings, or one king, David. Yet David's dead. So it can't be about him. This was designed to draw the Old Testament people of God to God's house to think on the David who was to come, on David's son. And so this introit to the Psalms has word joints with Psalm 2. You see the close of Psalm 2, it ends with words like way and perish, just as way and perish occur in Psalm 1. And that was Ezra's way, by the Holy Spirit, of joining these two psalms together in the worshipper and the reader's minds. And after Psalm 2, then we see the suffering king who enters into exalted glory and rule. So the Jews, Ezra is saying, and Jesus understood this, I think, that they must expect a suffering, glorified Messiah. And so as we start at this joint introit, Psalm 1-2, we should ask Jesus for his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that gave light and understanding to Cleopas and companion on the road to Emmaus. Because he said that all things written in the law and the prophets and the Psalms concerning him must be fulfilled. This book is going to be about Jesus, what he suffers for us and the glory he's purchased for us. So it's a messianic psalm. That's the first point. Jesus knew that this psalm was messianic. So in that sense, I hope you understand, this psalm leads us to think about Messiah as we sing. Some people say, but why do you sing psalms for Christ isn't mentioned? There's hardly a psalm in truth where Christ properly understood is not mentioned. Secondly, Jesus knew that all blessing is located and found in him. Jesus knew that all blessing is found in him. Blessed is the man who does not. And that man, Christ knew beyond a doubt, was him, the perfect man who shunned the life of sin, the way and the walk and the seat and the path of sin. He said no to it, always. And as mediator of the new covenant, his blood-bought blessing was purchased for the saints of God, his church. Jesus hated wicked counsel, and so should we. Jesus shunned each sinful course, and so should we. Jesus was never one to settle down in a sofa of a scoffer, nor should we. The world, flesh, and devil held no attraction, but it meant repulsion for Jesus. And so his unspotted, sinless life of blessing won for us is a robe of righteousness to clothe believers' backs and bring us into God's presence. See, all Canaan's milk and honey, all the peace and pleasure of paradise is ours this day through faith by grace in Christ. We are blessed because he was cursed, though the truly blessed one. We are blessed, says Ephesians 1 verse 5 in the Beloved, by grace through faith. And if that is so, if you're a Christian this morning, if you're blessed beyond your wildest dreams with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, then you should, as one saved by grace, seek his sin-shunning power and sin-shunning will to live an increasingly godly and righteous, blessed life. Will you do that in 2021? The first thing then is that Jesus knew the psalm was messianic. Secondly, Jesus knew that all blessing was found in him. How? Well, thirdly, Jesus loved to study biblical truth. He adored it. he was addicted to it in the best sense of the word. To read and to recite scripture was the lifelong preoccupation of the Lord Jesus. He happily, joyfully mulled over and memorized all scripture. Is not what we read here. But his delight, verse 2, is in the law of the Lord, and on his law, his Torah, it's not strictly rules and regulations, but rather God's instruction that's taught. That's what Torah means. He meditates day and night, a very Jewish way of saying all the time. In depth, in context, study of Scripture. That was magnetic for Christ. Early and late, at each step of his earthly course, and particularly his 3-year ministry for our sakes, reflecting on God's truth and reciting texts, even on the cross. He was full of Scripture. When he cried on the mountain, when he agonized in the garden, where he bore wrath for our guilt at Calvary, as he was suffering, piercing, and scourging, he bore the reality of Isaiah 53, and he prayed the content personally of Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was for our sakes. Bless God. So courage and comfort, help and hope, light and life, came to Christ, believing Scripture, for his heart was always full of trust in God's word. He believed every iota of Scripture, and applying that practically and powerfully to his own situation, God's will for his walk. And so, if you're in Christ this morning, if you're a Christian, where do you get the Bible passion that you have? Well, that's a mark of grace in your life. And how do you increase and fire up and stoke and fuel that passion for Scripture? Not just to store away texts, head knowledge, but having stored it away like a squirrel to feed on it all year round. And then apply it to your life. The Bible's a practical book. The closer you walk with God, the more you will love the truth. Isn't that what we read again in the book of Acts? Full of the word and spirit. Two things are always together. Never separate the word and spirit. The spirit works through the word to produce the Christ-like life. So we're to seek grace in 2021. George McEwen, the McEwen that's not in this church, the brother, he talks about chewing the cud. The farmers will understand that. Chewing the cud of Scripture. Meditating on it. Memorizing it. Grasping and applying it to every area of your lives, as elders and deacons, as members, as teachers, as students of the Sabbath school, as employees and employers, as husbands and wives, and mums and dads and kids and relatives and neighbours and friends. So the word has its way in your life, progressively and increasingly. And when we apply the Bible right, always remembering to do so with love uppermost in our mind, we will enjoy the peace of a holy, Christ-like Christian walk more and more. He knew this psalm was messianic, that pointed to himself as the source of all blessing. He loved to study the biblical truth, and he was ripe with holy and timely fruit, verse 3, because as he read this, he knew that he was full of spiritual fruit. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. Jesus certainly knew he was like Jeremiah's tree that we read about in chapter 17 of that prophecy. This life of Torah or law, love, put roots down to refresh in the water of the Word of God. And probably Ezra is also citing and thinking of this text to reveal Jeremiah's own heart. Possibly, maybe probably. Because Jeremiah's diagnosis as a cardiac physician should stun us. The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can possibly know it? You see, the great problem in the prophecy of Jeremiah is the people's heart, which is why the prophet promises the new covenant, where the Spirit will write the law on the heart. The people had the law, God's word, on tablets of stone and on scrolls, but they didn't do it because it wasn't on their heart and their minds. But now, says Jeremiah, I'm going to sort out their desperately wicked heart. That's the natural heart we all have. It's a description of you without Christ, were that possible. But it was the reality for us all in our native, natural-born state. Desperately wicked and deceitful. It's hard to hear those words as Christians say, well, that was true of me. That is true of my flesh, the old man. Listen to it again. Desperately wicked and deceitful. Above all things. Who can know it? Who can cure it? Well, maybe that's the point that Ezra's making in Psalm 1, that there is one who is blessed, who is going to give a new heart. Because Jesus' heart was incredibly righteous and above all things excellent. And through faith, he gives us new hearts and writes by the Spirit the truth and the commands of God on the tablets of flesh, so that we share this love for God's law and we put our roots down in the Word. You see, what did this mean for Christ, this one whose heart was ever true and who bore holy fruit to God? Well, it was a means to refresh him constantly. It made him the most vibrant human being, the God-man, of course, who ever lived. And despite all the wiles of the devils and the devilish darts fired at him of temptation in the desert, love, joy, and peace were ripe fruit in him. At all times, at all seasons and moments of his life, he was overflowing, wasn't he? What would it be like to meet Jesus today? Would be bowled over if we could see him as he is, by his patience, by how incredibly kind he is, how full of goodness, and the self-mastery he has, because they were his in abundance. His heart bled to write truth in your heart and to make us full of fruit and love like Christ. That's his will for us. And it's probably why we meet Christians from time to time. Maybe you do it all the time. I trust you do. In Newton Arden, and you say, aren't they just so kind like Jesus? About a year and a half ago, I had a wonderful encounter with a man. And it was just like being with Jesus. He was so kind. It was amazing. He says, apart from me, you cannot bear fruit. So as you abide in his word and abide in his love, we can give thanks that he pens his love letters in our hearts and minds. And we can cry, Lord Jesus, grant me grace for increasing holiness. So my words are holy, and my thoughts and ideas and opinions are holy, and my actions are never unholy. Holy in all you do and say. Jesus knew this psalm was messianic. All blessing was in him. He loved to study Bible truth. His life was full of timely fruit, and he knew ungodly rebels were doomed. Verse 4. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. He knew that the Lord God had appointed him as the judge of all men and would raise him from the dead and appoint him to that position. And one day he would speak. He says this, doesn't he, in John 5. The Son of God will speak, and all who are in their graves will rise up. The good to the judgment of everlasting life, and those who are evil to terrible torments and condemnation. With penetrating insight, like a torch on the head of a miner in a mine shaft, he would lay bare secret sins, weigh up hidden thoughts, and search out human works, our works, your works, my works. And rejectors of his Torah and law, God's law, would be commanded and ordered, depart from me. I never knew you. And rebels of his reign will be blow out lightweight chaff scattered by his command. And so as we reflect on this warning of judgment, which he understood, finally spoke of his own action, we're to ask for his spirit to heed the danger of that day and to flee from the wrath to come. And if we're outside Christ this morning, I don't know who I'm speaking to. If you're not a true believer in Jesus, if you haven't been born again of the Spirit of God and had the will of God written on your heart so that you love in your best moments to do it and to keep it, turn from your sins and take him as king and bow to his reign. He'll save you. He's merciful and gracious and kind. Saints, pray for courage to sound words of warning to children and neighbours and friends. He'll give you that strength. And all those hid in him will join and share in his cosmic purge when the earth will now be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And finally, Jesus knew that he was dearly loved by God. Jesus knew he was dearly loved by God. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knew he was loved by God. Christ's perfect path was fully known to the Lord. Not just mentally known, but loved in the Father's heart. the Son filled God with delight. That was true whether he consented to take on human flesh or take the servant form and lie incarnate in a manger, or learning his trade as a carpenter each day, but especially when he steps into the Jordan River to be baptized by John, and as he shines with glory on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father rejoiced, "This is my beloved Son, in him I am well pleased." Now, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God, but by grace through faith in Christ alone, God adopts believing, repenting, well-pleasing saints and views them as beloved. If you're a Christian this morning, from now and throughout 2021 and beyond, should Christ delay his return, you're blessed and loved for Jesus' sake by God. And so it's with confidence we go into this new year. We can say with Job, "He knows my every step. And one day soon, I will be transformed when I see his face." So that's, I think, part of how Jesus would sing this psalm. There's probably a lot more we could say. I wonder, as you read the psalms, do you sing along with Christ? If by nature you would be cursed, by grace rejoice that you are now blessed in him. In the strength of flesh, I wonder, have you been sucked back into the world in 2020? Well, in 2021, will you ask Jesus for power to put to death the idolatrous, enslaving, addictive power of sin in your life, and increasingly have a Bible-devoted heart that shuns sinful counsel, courses, and chairs? Do you give him thanks for using the truth to extinguish temptation fiery darts? Will you ask for his Spirit to ripen holy fruit so that your love for the Lord dominates your waking talk, thoughts, and traits in 2021? But will you ask for light to see him in the Psalms and to sing with him in the Psalms? And will you learn to loathe and avoid the lightweight, sinful life that ends in destruction before Jesus the Judge? Are you glad and consoled all your ways and steps in 2021, from the second you rise and begin to walk down the aisle to go home and get into your car, all's lit by the love of God for Jesus' sake? Well, then, in 2021, as we make sure we are in him, then this bliss that he bought awaits. And beyond that, well, paradise. May the Lord richly bless you. Amen.